Today, for a few moments, I want us to consider a bully. Most of us, at some point in our lives, we have encountered a bully, whether it was in a physical sense or whether it was an emotional sense or even a verbal sense. So when you think about a bully, and if you've been bullied in any way, let me ask you this question. Why is it so easy to dislike a bully? Now, consider it. Now, why is it important to stand up to that bully? In just a moment, we're going to be looking at passages out of 1 Samuel chapter 17. So if you don't have your Bible, go grab that so you can be right with us in the scripture. But we're looking at scriptures out of 1 Samuel chapter 17 concerning David and Goliath. We'll be right back. Hey folks, welcome to our Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We trust and pray that your day is going along well. I mentioned a moment ago that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn over to those passages with us. We're going to be reading them in just a moment. But I began our broadcast today by asking you if you had ever been bullied, you know, having somebody that's bullied you around, whether it was physically or it could have been verbally or even emotionally. You know what it's like to have to put up with a bully. Then I ask you a question, why is it important to stand up to a bully? Now, most of us can understand why it is important to do that, because if you don't, then the bully is going to continue. Now, again, I'm not propagating a fight or anything to that nature, but you do have to stand up for yourselves. And today we're going to look at a passage that essentially addresses bullying. Israel was being bullied by the Philistines. Now, before I get into this passage, many of you may know this, but I do want to give a little bit of background to our passages today. And that background is the fact that Israel and the Philistines didn't get along. The Philistines essentially would make war with Israel and vice versa. And what's interesting about this passage is just heading into where we're going to pick the passage up. You've got Israel on one side, and then you've got the Philistines on the other side, kind of facing off with each other, ready to do battle. Ready to go to battle. And what was going on was, for 40 days they had done this. That, to me, that's one of the things that really catches me when I read, every time I read this passage, I sit back and think, you mean for 40 days? I mean, that's like, you know, a month and a third. All they did was kind of sit there and stuck their tongues out at each other and made fun of each other across this, you know, this chasm. Nothing happened. Well, I guess at least Goliath got tired of nothing going on. It's like, if we're going to get busy with a fight, then let's get busy with a fight. If we're not, then let's go home. So Goliath, the big giant, makes a challenge. Now, by the way, Goliath was a gallant warrior. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. And he makes a challenge. Remember, Goliath is a Philistine. He's making this challenge to Israel. And he says, send somebody out to fight with me. If all of us aren't going to, you know, come together and have a fight to see who wins, then you send a person out to fight me. You know, Goliath was the champion of the Philistines. He said, you send your champion out, and whoever wins the fight essentially wins the war. Okay, that's what's going on as we're leading into this particular passage. Now, what had happened was David, who is a teenage boy at this time, his brothers were part of the army of Israel. Their dad had kind of sent what I would call a care package to the brothers by way of David. Now, when David gets there, he's sitting there. He's getting pretty excited. He thinks he's going to see some action. He thinks he's going to have an opportunity to see Israel go to battle. So he sees the challenge that Goliath puts out, and then he watches Israel essentially cower. Now, David was of the type that it irritated him. It made him mad that God Almighty was challenged. In fact, there's one of the passages says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares to challenge the armies of the living God? Well, it seems at this point, everybody that was part of the army of Israel had forgotten who they were, who they served, and the promises that God had made them, except for David. And he wasn't even part of the army. He was just up there delivering a care package. And he says, I'll tell you what, if none of you all are willing to go fight, I'll go out and fight with Goliath. I will be the one that will go out and fight the Philistine. You can imagine the looks he got. I'm sure there were people who laughed at him and said, if our future is in your hands, we're in pretty big danger. So let's pick up the scripture where we find what's taking place. You know, once David has stepped up and he says, hey, you know, I'm willing to go out and fight. This passage is going to be actually 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading with verse 31. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 31. It says, now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are young, and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Verse 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. And Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. That's with a little g. Verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp, the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines, to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands. And so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag, and he took out a stone, and he slung it. He slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as they as far as the entrance of the valley and the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road even as far as Gath and Ekron. And when the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistine, they had plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. And he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul, David was going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." So the king said, "Inquire whose son this young man is." Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" So David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we do so praising you and thanking you for, Lord, for each and everything that you provide in our life. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for all of the blessings that you bestow upon us. Lord, I'm thankful that as we take this time to come around your word, that we truly still are the armies of the living God, and you go out and fight the battles for us. Lord, help us to always have faith. Help our faith not to waver as Israel's did in this particular passage. Lord, help us to understand that Satan and his henchmen in this life are going to try to bully us. Lord, may we stand firm. May we stand strong in your word. Father, for these moments, I pray that you would bless me as your messenger for these moments, that you and you alone truly would be high and lifted up. So Lord, use this time to speak to our hearts and give us courage to make adjustment where adjustment is needed. And Lord, we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, that's quite a story. I know a lot of us have heard that from our youth, but in our story today, David was a young shepherd boy when he stood up to this giant Philistine whose name was Goliath. I mean, people were scared of him. All the people in Israel were scared of this Goliath. He was the champion of the Philistines. He had been making this challenge. Nobody wanted to go out and fight him. He was this gallant warrior from the time when he was young. Now, when all of a sudden David sees this and he gets uptight, because remember what he said, and this is important to note in the scripture, that when David got mad because Goliath was defiling God, not necessarily because he was defiling Israel. He was sitting there saying, "Yeah, you're defiling us, but you are defiling us because you are defiling God Almighty. And that just can't happen." I'm sure that there was a sense almost of anger when David heard what was going on. So what happens is David volunteers. He says, "You know what? If all you guys are going to stand around with your hands in your pockets, I'll be the one. I'll volunteer to go and fight Goliath." Remember, David wasn't even part of the army. But he says, "I tell you what, I'll go out and fight. Yeah, I'll go out and take care of business." You know, and King Saul tells him in verses 31 through 33, he says, "David, you're not able to do this." Yeah, what was the reason why he said? He said, "Well, you're young." He said, you're a shepherd boy. Yeah, you're just a young man. You're not a warrior. You haven't been a warrior. And Goliath's been a warrior since his youth, all of his life. You are not able." Folks, let me tell you one of the most frustrating things in the world. I know for me, and probably the same holds true for you. When you are ready to do what it is that God wants you to do, and somebody else comes along and discourages you from doing that. Have other people discouraged you from doing something that God has wanted you to do? How many times have you been in that situation? Somebody said, "Well, you can't do that." You know, or maybe God called you to teach a class, and you're like, "Hey, I'll teach that class." And then people that even that you know and love say, "Oh, you can't do that. You're not a teacher. That's not in your wheelhouse." And all of a sudden, you get this resistance and discouragement from people who should be encouraging you along the way. And that's exactly what King Saul did to David. He said, man, David, yeah, I appreciate the offer. You're not able, man. You're just a shepherd boy. You don't have the tools to do what needs to be done. You can't take care of this. There's no way that you can beat this man that they call Goliath. There's just no way. So think about this for a moment. How was it that David answered Saul's discouragement? Well, what happened was David began to lay out his case for saying, I am well able to do this. He said, yeah, I've been a shepherd boy, but I've been watching my daddy's flock, and there have been times when a lion has come up and tried to take one of the lambs, and I fought against that lion, and I have fought against that bear, and I have struck them down. In other words, I'm not just this little boy that you think I am. There's more to me than meets the eye. There's more to me than you are giving me credit for. I have whipped a lion, and I have whipped a bear. And he says, now the thing about it is, that was just to take care of the sheep because that was my job. However, this is another situation. This is a situation where this man Goliath has defiled our God. He has defiled Israel by defiling God. And David said, I am able to take care of it. I'm stating my case before you. I am well able to go and handle the task at hand. So, you know, God, when you look back at it, God had been preparing David for this moment all of his life. Folks, never take for granted the things that are taking place in your life or the things that have taken place in your life. How many times have we said that where you are right now is part of the journey to where God is trying to get you or where God wants you to be? You know, David, having had opportunity to have to fight against the lion and against the bear, also helped prepare him for the fight that he was getting ready to have with Goliath. Think about it for a moment. Out in that field when he was a shepherd boy, there was probably nobody watching. It probably would have been easy for him to say, oh, well, it's one lamb. What difference does that make? Just, you know, lion's got to eat too. Bear's got to eat too. But no. He said, my job was to guard these sheep, and nothing's going to happen to them while on my duty. I will stand firm. I will stand strong, and I will fight the enemy. In the case of being the shepherd boy, it was the lion and the bear. In the case of being a part of Israel, he says, that man named Goliath out there has said some harsh things against my God. He has defiled my God, and because of that, I will go fight the battle, but I am fighting it for my God, who will take care of and preserve me through it. Now, I want you for just a moment to think about a trial or a challenge in your life that has prepared you for something greater later on down the road. Can you mark that in your life? Can you sit back and say, you know what, I went through this particular time only to realize that you know, at the time I was like, why is this happening? Why is this going on? Why do I need this? But later on you found out that what you learned through that trial or through that challenge was something that you were going to have to apply to what was taking place in the future, or a futuristic situation that would happen. God prepared you for what you were going to have to face along the way. You know, as part of my personal testimony, I jokingly say that I got a job as a police officer fresh out of college. I accidentally got a job as a police officer. Well, it wasn't accidental. You know what? The reason God put me there, I can pinpoint it now. Most of the time you don't see it in the middle of it, but hindsight becomes 20/20 vision. Maybe you'll see it in your life today. But I know that God allowed me to my time with the police department to teach me about people that I didn't know about, to teach me how privileged I really was growing up, and how God had so taken care of me. He let me see how those less fortunate than I am live, and he let me see the depravity of man, would be the best way to say it. And in doing so, it helped me to relate more to them and how I approach people and the ways that I do things. Everything that I encountered as a police officer prepared me for what God was eventually leading me to, which was to be in full-time ministry, to be a pastor for him, to deal with people, you know, on a daily basis with the tragedies and the challenges and the situations in their life. So those things are happening in your life as well. So think about that trial. Think about that challenge. And think about how God has either prepared you or is preparing you for something that is coming on on a little bit further down the road. Now, Saul attempted to do something, which I can only imagine what this must have been like. Our scripture tells us that Saul attempted to clothe David with his own armor, okay? But that didn't work. You gotta remember, David was a little shepherd boy. Saul was a big man. Saul was a gallant warrior. So Saul says, David, if you're gonna go out and you're gonna fight this battle, then I'll tell you what, here, take my armor. So could you imagine what that must have been like? David trying to put Saul's armor on, it didn't fit. He might even look like a turtle. His head could probably go, you know, inside the breastplate. And trying to pick that sword up, it was probably much heavier than David felt like he could handle. The helmet, he could probably spin it around on his head. But yet David tried it on. But what did he say? He goes, man, I can't use this stuff. He said, man, this helmet's too big. This breastplate doesn't fit me. Now, the terminology in the word says that David told him, I can't wear these because I haven't tried them. In other words, they don't fit. Have you ever had to wear clothes that don't fit? Let me take you back to your childhood for a minute. That if you're at least of my generation, one of the things that mom would always do was she'd buy you clothes a couple sizes too big so you could grow into them. And remember, you kind of walked the excess length off of your blue jeans, or you know, you looked like you could put three of you in a shirt or something. I say that in a good, jokingly and facetious way, but you know what I'm talking about. It was very, very true. But the clothes needed to fit. And in this particular case, Saul's armor would not fit David. David's like, man, I will get killed if I try to go out here and fight by wearing your armor, because, man, I can't even move in this stuff. So it says in down there in verse 40 that David chose a weapon. It says that he picked up five smooth stones, and one of the things that evidently he was familiar with and that he was good with was a sling. Now, that's not the sling like you and I knew growing up, where you have a Y stick and you take an old inner tube of a tire and you put it in there and you can shoot rocks or ball bearings. This was the sling that was a circular sling. It was a piece of leather between two other leather straps that he would put his ammo or his stone in there, and he would twirl it around his head, and then when it came time to launch, he would let go of one side of the strap, and that stone would come out with some force and with authority. That's the sling we're talking about there. So David said, I'm used to this. I know how it operates. I'm familiar with my weaponry. Now, let me insert another message for another day. Remember what the Lord told us in the book of Ephesians about the armor of God. When he goes through all the armor of God, he only gets to one piece of armor that is offensive as opposed to defensive. And you remember what that is? That is the sword. What is our sword? Our sword is the word of God. Okay? So remember that. You know, that we have one offensive weapon. David chose an offensive weapon that he was familiar with, which was a sling. Okay? You know, we cannot fight somebody else's battle. You cannot fight your own personal battle with somebody else's personal armor. You can't do it. You have to take what God has given you, or what God is cultivating in you, to fight the battles that you have. You cannot fight someone else's battle, nor can they fight yours. Remember that. That is critical, because so many times we want to do that. Now, I want to carry you for just a moment to another passage in 1 Samuel chapter 17, because I think it's important for us to understand how monumental this was, that David, being essentially a teenage boy who was a shepherd, volunteering to go fight this gallant warrior Goliath. Now, in the passages of 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 4, this is what we read about Goliath. It says, as a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, what that means translated into English is he was 9 feet 9 inches tall. If he was standing under a regulation basketball goal, his head would only lack 3 inches from touching the rim. 9 feet 9 inches tall. But he also wasn't just skinny. He was a big man. He was one of those guys that was built. He was muscular. Okay. Verse 5 goes on. It says he had a bronze helmet on his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had a bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Man, this guy right here is huge. This guy right here is strong. This fellow right here is a force to be reckoned with. He is a war machine. That's the best way to say it. And not only that, this was not his first battle. He had been in battle all of his life, and he was the champion of the whole camp of the Philistines. Going up against the inexperienced little shepherd boy who had never seen battle a day in his life, who didn't even have a conventional weapon by which to go against him with. That is how the word describes Goliath. You know, now think about this for a moment. How do you think that Goliath felt about his chances against David? Well, we see that he did a little trash talking when he went down there, and he looked at me. He said, "What is this? I mean, he's bad mouthing Israel." He said, "You send this little punk down here against me." He said, "Man, what am I, a dog, that you come at me with a stick or something? Yeah, send me somebody real. Send me somebody gallant. Send me your best warrior." Yeah, I can't believe you're sending this kid down here to do a man's job. And it actually angered Goliath somewhat. And what he did was he began to speak words of intimidation to David. Isn't that what happens when the bully comes at you? The bully will always speak with words of intimidation. Now go back to our scripture for just a moment and think about when David actually comes face to face with Goliath. Now look with me, if you would, at verse 43. Okay, now when we get down to verse 43 in the scriptures, here's what we read. It says, "So the Philistines said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." And remember, that's gods with a little g. In other words, the gods, little g, the Philistines, he's cursing, in the name of his gods. And verse 44 says, "And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beast of the field.'" That's what he said to him. He's like, "Man, come on, I am going to rip you to shreds. I am going to tear you limb from limb. Yeah, who do you think you are standing up against me?" Isn't that the way a bully functions? Isn't that the way a bully acts? They come at you with words of intimidation, the same way that Goliath came with intimidating words to David, and the same way that Satan comes with intimidating words to you and I in the midst of our spiritual walk. You know, so what did David do? Did David get scared? Did David run? What was his response, to these allegations, to this intimidation? All right, think about it for just a moment. It says, so the Philistine, let's go to verse, let's see. Let me find the right verse for us here, because I want to make sure we got it right. Go to verse 45 of our scripture for today. Verse 45 tells us this. It says, "So then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword.'" Remember, this is David responding to Goliath. "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, capital L, of hosts, the God, capital G, of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." You know what David's saying? "I am coming to you as a messenger from God Almighty himself. And what I'm going to do," in verse 46, he goes on and tells him, "this is what I'm going to do to you." Remember, this is little David talking to this gallant warrior Goliath. Here's what he says, verse 46, "This is what I'm going to do to you," says David to Goliath. "This day," verse 46, "the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Woo-wee. Boy, look at those words. Do you think that David was intimidated by what Goliath said to him? He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm gonna rip your head off. I'm gonna cut your head off because you have defiled the armies of the living God. Because there is a God, the God who is gonna fight for me, I am going to tear you apart. Now, could you imagine how Goliath must have took that? He probably took that, and it probably infuriated him, okay? But think about it. Whose battle did David say this was? He said, this battle's not mine. This battle's not just, this battle is the Lord's. David is letting him know, this battle is the Lord. And this changed things, right? This is what gave David the chance for victory. This is what it was that was going to allow him to do exactly what he just told Goliath that he was going to do. You know what we need to do as we go forward? We need to pray for one another today and every day that we will have the courage to face our giants and to overcome them in faith. Folks, I don't know what giants are in your life today, but I promise you there are some that are there. There are some things in your life that look so big and so monumental right now that they've intimidated you. They have caused you, you know, just like old Goliath, they're taunting you. They're sitting back saying, this is what I'm going to do to you. But have you forgotten who you are as a believer? Have you forgotten who fights the battle for you? Have you forgotten who will bring victory? You have to have faith. Remember faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Believing that not only God can, but God will. Are you having faith that God will fight your battles today? Are you willing to stand up to the bully, even though you look like the little shepherd boy and the giant in your life looks like 9 foot, 9 inch tall Goliath, and it's trash talking you? You know what? If you have the right courage, you stand up in the faith that God is going to deliver you from the battle. And that means you go to battle. I love one of the things that this scripture says. It says David basically rushed out to meet Goliath. He didn't do so in fear. He didn't do so looking back. He trusted that God was going to deliver him. And he went straight into that battle. And we know what the results are. I love what the results say. It says that David took one of those stones, put it in that sling. And as he twirled it around, it says when he launched it, it hit Goliath right here in the forehead. Okay, it says, I love how the word says it. It says, and the stone sunk into his forehead. Okay, this rock impaled Goliath's forehead, and he went down like a sack of taters. Okay, while he was down, while he was unconscious, David went up. David didn't even have a sword in his hand. He took Goliath's own sword from him and cut his head off. I can only imagine what it was like. It says that he actually delivered the head back. He kept hold of Goliath's head. And I am sure that David turned to all the Philistines that were up on the mountain watching. He turned around there and probably held the head of the enemy up and said, when you face God, this is what's going to happen to you. You will not win against the Father. But listen, are we faithful enough? And do we have the courage enough to stand strong, to rush into the battle that is the Lord's? Or are we going to turn like Israel had been doing for 40 days? They run up to each other and taunt each other across the hill and then turned and ran away from each other. Remember, Israel forgot who they were. The word tells us they were the armies of the living God. Have you forgotten who you are today as a believer? You are one of God's children. You are one that God has promised, I will fight the battles for you. Will you trust me? Will you allow me to do that? Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have to face the giants. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have to go and face the Goliath. You are going to have to. See, part of the problem is most of us never get to the point where we will face the giant. We can't get victory over it if we're not willing to face it as God leads us and as God guides us. You know, what happens is we're too busy standing on the mountain like the rest of Israel and like the rest of the Philistines and just hollering back and forth at each other and taunting each other. That gets absolutely nothing done. Listen, is your faith going to step up today? Are you going to face the Goliaths in your life? Are you going to face the giants with the courage that God will fight the battle for you? And not only that he'll fight the battle for you, that he will give you victory in the middle of that battle. Think about it for a minute. Can we pray that for one another today? That we will have the courage to face our giants and to overcome them in great faith as we follow the Lord? That's what we need to pray. That's what I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. But I want to give you this week's Bible readings. For those of you who may be new and joining us, what I do is I give you five chapters of the Bible to read each week. Now, if you don't have a devotional time of your own, I want to encourage you to do this. And I'm not encouraging you to try to receive or maintain a theological degree. I'm asking you to read one chapter a day. Anybody can do that. If you're new, this is a great, great start for you. I don't want you to read ahead. I want you to read one chapter. I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you as you draw away from the world, the cell phone, the TV, life, and everything else. Give the Lord your attention in that one chapter and see what He says to you, okay? So what are our five chapters for this week? By the way, I'm only giving you five, and there's 7 days in a week, so that even gives you a day or two of fluff, okay? This week's Bible readings are going to be 1 Samuel chapter 21 through 1 Samuel chapter 25. Once again, that is 1 Samuel chapter 21 through 1 Samuel chapter 25. And next week, we're going to look at how David spares Saul's life out of the book of 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 through 22. You won't want to miss this. It's very interesting, the relationship that we see as the scripture fast forwards a little bit, and how Saul and David, essentially Saul actually was trying to kill David later on. So going to be a great week of reading. Please join us. Again, 1 Samuel 21 through 1 Samuel 25. Next week, David spares Saul's life. 1 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 22. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we're so grateful and so thankful that you don't call us into anything that you haven't already preceded us in. Lord, you know what the outcome's going to be. You know what the results are going to be. You are looking for your children to be faithful enough to trust you. Lord, may our faith grow. May our faith be stretched that we will trust you as we face the giants, as we face the Goliaths of our lives. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to see victory, but not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Not victory in and of ourselves, but victory in you, Lord. Help us to see and understand that. Give us wisdom and insight as we continue on in reading of your word. May we grow in our faith. May we grow and be strengthened along the way that as we experience life's situations, that we will run them based on your word and how you would want us to do things, things that would be pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that you will help us to be a blessing to someone this week. Send us to somebody who just needs a word of encouragement, somebody who needs to hear the gospel story, somebody who needs to hear, don't quit, just hang in there. God will deliver you. Father, help use us in that regard, and we'll be careful to praise you for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, thank you for joining us this evening. God bless you. If you live in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you join us at Central Baptist Church. The address is 1715 Highway 68 North. We're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. Services are at 1045. We would love to see you here. Come join us.